This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
at GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, every week, we profile some of the most amazing developments in science and technology. And today, we're going to talk about the epidemiology and the history of past epidemics. You know, on Science Fantastic, we've had a number of doctors, a number of biotechnologists talking about the DNA, the RNA, talking about what is known and not known about the coronavirus. But today, we're going to try to give a historic perspective on this. We're going to go back into the past to previous epidemics and look at the birth of a new science called epidemiology. Epidemiology is something that most people are not accustomed to hearing, but it's at the forefront of our understanding of emerging pandemics. So with us today is science journalist Sandra Hempel. She's from London and author of a number of great books. We'll be talking about her latest book, which is called The Atlas of Disease, Mapping Deadly Epidemics and Contagion from the Plague to the Zika Virus. And also, if you want to find out more about Science Fantastic, go to my website. It's mkaku.org, mkaku.org. We have 3 million fans on Facebook, about another million fans on Twitter, and I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. My latest New York Times bestseller is called The Future of Humanity, talking about one day we're going to go back to the moon, on to Mars, and perhaps even one day to the stars. So that book, my latest book, is called The Future of Humanity. But today, we're going to focus in on the coronavirus, talking about its epidemiology, its history, the history of previous pandemics of the past. With us today, once again, is Sandra Hempel, science journalist, author of the book, The Atlas of Disease, Mapping Deadly Epidemics and Contagion from the Plague to the Zika Virus. And she documents 20 of the most devastating epidemics in world history. She also takes a different point of view to disease. She approaches disease the way a detective would approach a crime or a murder mystery. So she's also the author of The Medical Detective and The Inheritor's Powder. And so she approaches disease the same way that a detective or a scientist would approach a crime. So, Sandra, glad you could be on Science Fantastic.
Thank you very much for inviting me. I'm delighted to be here.
Okay, well, the first question that we always ask our guests is, when you were a youth, a young kid, what steered you in the direction of medicine and science?
Well, you know, I'm very surprised that I did finish up interested in medicine and science, because I really wasn't that interested when I was young. I think it was partly because science was quite badly taught when I was at school, I think. Also, I'm really not very good at math, and I have always thought of myself as being a words person. So early on, my favourite subjects were English, history, and Latin, and I'm still interested in those subjects, but it was much later in my career, when I was working as a freelance journalist, that I became interested in medical science, and that was just by chance, really. I was asked to do some editing shifts on a big weekly nursing magazine, and it was there that I really began to be fascinated by the subject matter and about medicine in general. And then later, when I was thinking about writing a non-fiction fiction narrative book, because I simply like the idea of doing that and trying my hand at writing a book, I thought about the history of medicine, and I thought there might be some good, strong human interest stories there to tell. And I came across the story of Dr. John Snow in the 19th century and the great cholera epidemics and the iconic Broad Street pump in London, Soho, that he used to do his research into how cholera might be spreading. And actually, I was fascinated by this human interest story, this one-man struggle to get his ideas accepted. And it was only when I'd actually got a publishing deal for the book and I really got stuck into the writing that it dawned on me just how much scientific research I was going to have to do. And it was a very daunting thought at the time. But at the same time, when I started to get immersed in it, I found it absolutely fascinating. And I particularly enjoyed the challenge of explaining difficult science in good plain English that the general reader could understand. So that's really how it came about.
Okay, now in your book, The Atlas of Disease, you approach disease differently than some of the other guests that we've had on Science Fantastic. They talk about the symptoms, and they talked about how many people have died as a consequence of this disease or whatever. You approach it from the point of view of an epidemiologist. So what is epidemiology, and why is it so important for your narrative, The Atlas of Disease?
Well, epidemiology is the study, it's been put very simply as who gets sick and why. So it's not about individual patients, it's not about cures or treatments, it's about discovering how a disease travels, how it's transmitted, and what course it is likely to take. And that's where the detective side of things comes in, and as you rightly emphasise, it is very much about investigating this opponent, if you like, this destroyer that's on the loose, and trying to find out, unravel its mysteries, really, so that you know how to try to tackle it, how to try to prevent it. I think that's one way of putting it, really.
Okay, now in your book, The Atlas of Disease, you profile 20 of some of the most devastating epidemics in all of world history. And so let's focus on just a few of them and ask, what was it like to live through one of these horrible epidemics before the birth of modern science? For example, in the year 1350, it's rumored that, it's conjectured that perhaps half the population of Europe died as a consequence. So what are some of the great 20 most devastating epidemics in world history?
I think the first recorded epidemic that we know about is what was called the Plague of Athens. And that epidemic is one of the early ones that we really we know so little about that we don't actually know what it was. It's called the plague, but in fact we don't know that it was the plague. It's generally mostly thought that it was smallpox, but there are other diseases in the frame. I mean, for example, smallpox and typhus, and as well as bubonic plague itself. And it must have been absolutely terrifying because, as you say, people really understood nothing about what was happening, and they knew nothing about how to take any kind of precautions against the disease. And there was also this added worry there that...
Okay, Sandra, we have to take a short commercial break. But after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of your latest book, The Atlas of Disease, talking about the history of some of the greatest pandemics of all time. And once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call if you want to be heard on 100 radio stations. The number to call is 612 612- 1-800-564-8135, and maybe you can get on national radio. Stay tuned.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hey, self-reliance gardeners, now that you've got your crisis garden planted, the next step is to make sure all your vegetables are going to grow like crazy the rest of the summer. For that, you'll need an all-natural, full-spectrum plant food that works to not only maximize nutritional uptake for you and your family, but is also guaranteed to make your fruits and vegetables actually taste better. The name of the product is ProtoGrow, a proprietary blend of bioactive superfoods for plants designed to produce rapid plant growth in record time, so much so that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. It does this by combining powerful trace elements and micronutrients from seaweed extracts with a balanced blend of macronutrients from cold water fish. The result? Vegetables grow faster than ever because they now have the essential bioavailable nutrients they need. Go to growlikecrazy.com to learn more. Huge summer discounts now available. growlikecrazy.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again with us from London is Sandra Hempel, science journalist, author of a number of great books, including The Medical Detective, The Inheritor's Powder, and her latest book, The Atlas of Disease, Mapping Deadly Epidemics and Contagion from the Plague to the Zika Virus. And it profiles 20 of some of the most devastating epidemics in history. And we're going to approach it from the point of view of an epidemiologist, trying to find out where these diseases came from, how it spreads, and how it eventually was resolved. And so you were talking about some of the early epidemics that affected humanity, and do we know how they were transmitted, perhaps by fleas or rats or bad water? How were they transmitted?
Well, all of those means of transmission. In the Black Death, they're famously transmitted by fleas who were jumped from rats onto people and transmitted the disease that way. For smallpox, which was really, I mean, fortunately now it has actually been eradicated from the world. It's the only human epidemic disease that has been, but that is transmitted through the air by a virus and also, I believe, through contact. And typhus, which is another appalling killer, and it's very prevalent in confined spaces. It was once known as jail fever for that reason, and also in army camps during wars, it's been an absolute killer, and that's transmitted by the human body louse. And there are famous pictures during World War One of soldiers being sort of hosed down with disinfectant because it can linger in clothes, in hair, and it's transmitted very easily. The virus just jumps from one body to another, and it's an absolute killer. So cholera, of course, is transmitted through water, but that wasn't known right up until the middle of the 19th century. Really, nobody understood that a disease could be waterborne, but which, of course, typhoid is as well. But no one could get their heads around this at the time. It was a revolutionary idea when it first came out.
Now, some historians have said that in some sense, these epidemics are the price we pay for civilization. I mean, a long time ago when we existed in small nomadic packs of maybe 100 people, epidemics were unheard of. But then cities form with polluted environments, crowded conditions. The creation of cities and agriculture created the first epidemics. And then empires form. Empires spread the disease by soldiers. And then shipping, international shipping, spread these diseases by sailors. And so what are your thoughts about the fact that some historians have said that, well, it's the price we pay for civilization? What are your thoughts?
I agree with that, absolutely. And it dawned on me as I was doing the research for the Atlas of Disease that there are clear parallels here between the emergence and the spread of epidemics and the story of our own progress. As you say, from when we first began living together in settlements and herding animals, because some of these pathogens have mutated and jumped from animal species into humans. And then the growing interaction between the different nations and civilizations, to the mass movements of people for trade, exploration, and for conquest. And, of course, the best-known examples of the latter are Christopher Columbus in the late 15th century, who's blamed for introducing several deadly diseases into what was then known as the New World, in particular measles, which was horribly fatal, and also the Spanish conquerors in the 16th century, who also brought measles and also smallpox to the Caribbean, Mexico, to Central America and to Peru. And actually, it was also a two-way street, though. The conquerors are also thought to have brought back some new diseases with them. And it's been thought for some long time that they were responsible for introducing syphilis into Europe. But I think now some new findings have cast some doubt on that. I think they found some monks buried in a graveyard dating back to the 12th century in England. And I think they, when they tested the bones, they found traces of syphilis, which is an interesting idea. So we're not sure now about that. But for a long time it was thought that we could blame the conquerors for coming back from various parts of the world and bringing syphilis with them.
Now, our ancestors, what did they do to protect themselves against these mysterious epidemics? For example, fleeing from the cities. In 1350, Boccaccio, the famous Italian writer, fled Florence to go into the hills. And then he collected stories, which became the Decameron. And the Decameron, in turn, is the basis of some of Shakespeare's. Some of Shakespeare's plays are based on the tales told by these travelers who fled Florence fled the cities to go into the countryside. So back then, did they do anything that was useful against the disease, or they simply believed in magic and superstition and basically did nothing to protect themselves, really?
No, I mean, as you say, they certainly fled into the countryside. They certainly tried to steer clear of other people, which is interesting. It's an interesting instinct because they knew nothing, you know, about how diseases were transmitted, and certainly, of course, nothing about germs whatsoever. But they were also either locked themselves up or they were forcibly locked up. In the latter case, most notably in London during the Great Plague. I mean, to what extent it worked, it's hard to say, but obviously some diseases, particularly those where the main route of transmission is respiratory, like COVID, then social distancing, as we call it now, has certainly helped. And also, I guess if the disease is being transmitted through insect bite, by fleas or by body lice, then again, it makes sense to steer clear of other people if you possibly can. I mean, that practice of quarantining is centuries old, and when I was doing some research into this, I was fascinated to find that it has always been controversial, because it involves balancing the public interest against the rights of the individual. And, of course, there is also the practical difficulty of enforcement. And many people know about the Great Plague of London in 1665, when the victims, along with the unfortunate healthy people who were living with them, were all shut up, as it was known then, in their homes, with watchmen standing guard and a Red Cross on the door. Well, apparently, that policy was questioned from the beginning, with critics arguing that it did more harm than good, and some even suggested that being under house arrest would cause healthy people to become depressed, and they then thought that it might then morph into the plague. And there was a pamphlet written by an anonymous Londoner at the time setting out the arguments against locking people in. And he said, infection may kill thousands, but shutting them up has killed tens of thousands, which is a really interesting idea, I think, for its time. And I hadn't realized that this debate was going on in 1665. And actually, in the Great Plague, it proved impossible to police such large numbers of people, and they were only shut up for just very short space of time, actually. I assumed it had gone on for months, but by the time the outbreak peaked, the system had completely broken down, and the diarist Samuel Pepys came into the city for the first time in weeks, and wrote in his diary how he tried his best to talk to as fewer people as possible, but he said it wasn't possible because there were so many people wandering around the streets, and many of them clearly had the plague, he thought.
Okay, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call if you want to get on 100 radio stations, 612-564-8135 is the number to call if you want to get on national radio. Give us a call.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
President Donald Trump said that he will be signing an executive order in the next few weeks, which will include a road to citizenship for DACA recipients.
I'm going to be signing a very major immigration bill as an executive order. One of the aspects of the bill is going to be DACA. We're going to have a road to citizenship.
the president, who has pledged to end DACA numerous times since he was on the campaign trail in 2015. At the time, he called the program an illegal executive order, now saying the bill wouldn't just be for temporary relief, but would be for a far more encompassing merit-based bill. DACA currently serves as protection for young immigrants that were brought to the U.S. illegally as children, referred to as Dreamers, to allow them legally to study, work, and remain in the United States without fear of deportation. Remember, you can listen online anytime at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News. President Donald Trump talked today about drug overdoses caused by foreign cartels, and USA's Tim Berg has the story.
President Trump took part in a live stream briefing at U.S. Southern Command that highlighted a new counter-narcotics operation that has detained more than 1,000 drug traffickers and robbed the Venezuelan government of illicit profits. The president saying this is all helping to limit the number of overdose deaths.
Last year, 70,000 precious American lives were taken because of the poison the cartel bring into our country. Under my administration, drug overdose deaths fell for the first time in nearly 30 years.
I'm Tim Berg.
The state of California will release around 8,000 prison inmates early in an effort to slow the spread of the coronavirus in state correctional facilities, with more than half expected to return to society by the end of July. The move will allow prisons to use the extra space to impose social distancing rules, isolation, and quarantine measures. This is USA Radio News.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you, and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again with us today is Sandra Hempel from London, author of a great book, The Atlas of Disease. That's right, The Atlas of Disease. Tracing its geological, biological origins. And the subtitle is Mapping Deadly Epidemics and Contagion from the Plague to the Zika Virus. And it profiles 20 of the most devastating epidemics in world history. She's also the author of The Medical Detective and The Inheritor's Powder. And she approaches disease like a detective approaches a crime. And that is the science of epidemiology. And we're talking about that when we talk about plagues of the past. Now, we just mentioned the famous plague of 1665. I'm a physicist, and we'd like to tell the story of a young 23-year-old man who was social distancing back in 1665 on his estate, and he noticed the moon one day while he was in quarantine, and he said to himself, if an apple falls, then does the moon also fall? Well, he had plenty of time to work out the problem because, of course, the Black Plague had shut down Cambridge University, and he created two things. He created first calculus, the mathematics of forms which can change with time, and then he also founded the universal laws of gravitation. Well, that 23-year-old man was Isaac Newton, perhaps the greatest scientist of all time, and one of the byproducts of the Great Plague of 1665 in London was the creation of modern physics. But once again, with us today is Sandra Hempel from London, author of the book The Atlas of Disease. Now, we mentioned this a few times, but let's now talk about John Snow in the mid-1800s, who looked at a pump in London and changed the course of medical history. So what is cholera, and what was the insight of John Snow which changed medical history?
Cholera is caused by bacteria. It's spread largely by contaminated water. And it first really came onto the world stage in the 19th century. Origins, natural environment, is the Ganges Delta. And we don't know quite why in the early 19th century it began to move out of that area across India and then eventually across Asiatic Russia into what was then European Russia and then around the world. We think that the British Army might well have been to blame for its first starting to move because the British obviously had colonized India and occupied it. The British Army was there and there was a massive amount of world trade going on at the time. So we think that it's those, again, we come back to trade, we come back to movement of people and armies. We think that's the reason that cholera went on the move. And it baffled medical science, it baffled governments around the world. It was killing millions of people, but nobody could understand it because it behaved so bizarrely. It wasn't like any other disease that they had known because it would appear somewhere almost overnight, strike down.
Okay, Sandra, let's take another short commercial break, and after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of your book, The Atlas of Disease by Sandra Hempel. And you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call if you want to get on 100 radio stations. 612-564-8135 is the number to call. Give us a call.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Attention radio listeners, have you ever wanted to be independent of the utility companies and actually generate your own supply of off-grid electrical power? If so, this is going to be the most important message you'll ever hear. Here's why. A limited number of solar-powered backup generators are back in stock and now available. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running silently, secretly, in your own home. Run sump pumps, shortwave radios, computers, even keep food from spoiling. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more. That's MySolarBackup.com. Supplies are still limited and are available on a first-come, first-served basis only. MySolarBackup.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. You know, on Science Fantastic, we've had a number of doctors, a number of virologists, a number of geneticists talking about the science of the coronavirus. But today we're going to talk about the history and also the epidemiology of previous pandemics and ask the question, what have we learned concerning the new coronavirus? With us today is Sandra Hempel from London. She's a science journalist, author of the book, The Atlas of Disease, Mapping Deadly Epidemics and Contagion from the Plague to the Zika Virus, using a new science called epidemiology, which owes its origin to a gentleman called John Snow with regards to the cholera epidemic of the 1800s. So we just began a discussion of cholera. It's a horrible disease. You basically have diarrhea and you die of dehydration and loss of fluids. And it had something to do with a pump in London. So tell us the story of John Snow and how he figured out, using the science of epidemiology, where the cholera epidemic came from.
Well, he had been thinking about cholera for some time, hadn't shared his ideas with anyone because he thought they were not properly formed. He first ventured into the public with a very little pamphlet, but nobody took much notice of it at all. He carried on thinking about cholera by himself, and he worked out, he had this theory, that it was being spread by contaminated water. But that was revolutionary. Nobody believed that a disease could spread like that. So when an epidemic broke out in Soho, which is a very tiny area in the very centre of London, when that epidemic broke out, it was absolutely virulent, more virulent than any that they'd seen before, but very contained within these few streets. He thought this was an excellent opportunity to try to put his idea to the test. He went around when the epidemic was over, and in fact it only lasted for about 10 days, and it killed about 600 people in a very small patch of streets, and 200 of them died in the first night alone. So that's how vicious cholera can be. And once that had died down, he went around the district. He had a list of the houses where people had died, and he knocked on the door and asked the remaining family where they got their water from. Did they get it from one of the commercial water companies, or did they get it from one of the pumps, the well pumps in the street? And he took a map of the district, a street map, and for every death in every house, he put a little line. And when he finished his inquiries and he studied his map, he realized that all of the worst affected houses, the most deaths, all occurred within a little radius of the Broad Street pump. And as you got further away from the Broad Street pump, so the deaths diminished. And the only times that he could have cases that he could see where there was a difference in that pattern was where the Broad Street pump might have been further away from where the person lived, but it was easier to go to the Broad Street pump than to one of the others, because it was lots of little lanes that ended in cul-de-sacs and that kind of thing. And so that actually was his really groundbreaking piece of work that to him really proved what he was already sure was going to be the case, that the Broad Street pump was the cause of the infection. Of course, nobody understood about germs at that time, certainly not John Snow either. And so he called what we would call the germ or the pathogen, he called it the cholera poison. And he said, whatever this cholera poison is, it's being spread through contaminated water, and it's come, in this case, it's come from this pump. And in fact, when the local authorities, when the parish asked an engineer to dig up the ground beneath the pump, they found that sewers were leaking and the contents of privies were leaking directly into the water.
Okay, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Sandra Hempel from London. The book is called The Atlas of Disease, and the number to call is 612-564-8135 if you want to get on Science Fantastic and ask a question on national radio. Give us a call.
Stay at home. Public health concerns. The reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses. Your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, we've had a number of doctors, virologists, geneticists, talking about the DNA, the RNA, and the genetics, and the scientific background behind the coronavirus. But today, we realize that the coronavirus is part of a continuum, that we live in some sense in an ocean of viruses, most of them harmless, but every once in a while a virus mutates and can create a pandemic. So with us today is Sandra Hempel, science journalist from London, author of the book The Atlas of Disease, Approaching Disease Like a Detective Approaches a Murder Mystery. And when we last left off, we were talking about Jon Snow, who had the nerve and the foresight to say that perhaps contaminated water affected the cholera epidemic. And researchers there removed the handle. They removed the handle of this pump, and sure enough, the number of cases of cholera dropped like a rock. Now, we sometimes forget that back in the 1800s, open sewers, open cesspools were quite common. When you read diaries of people traveling through Europe in the 1700s and 1800s, the first thing they noticed was the smell, this horrible smell from open sewer pipes and cesspools in all the great cities of Europe. Well, because of what John Snow did and other discoveries like the germ theory, sanitation spread throughout the civilized world for the first time. So, Sandra, once again, tell us, what were then the implications of this monumental discovery that diseases could be spread by things like contaminated water?
Well, as you say, the main consequence was a speeding up of the installation of decent sewers and clean water supplies, because water was absolutely filthy, and certainly in the UK, in Britain, it was absolutely disgusting in the towns and cities. I mean, springs in the countryside were fine, but once you got into towns and cities, then, as you say, we're talking about open sewers, we're talking about privies leaking into water supplies, and that water would just be pumped straight out to people without any kind of filtering or boiling whatsoever. So decent clean water, decent sewers became an absolute priority. It took a while for John Snow's ideas to get accepted, because people had been wedded to this idea of miasma. And the miasma theory said that the disease was contained within a bad smell. So it was the gases given off by rotting organic matter that made people sick. And you can understand that, because if you don't know anything about germ theory, I don't know about germs, then there's a lot of circumstantial evidence to suggest that bad gases might make you sick, because there is indeed a link between filth and disease. It's just people didn't have that missing bit of the jigsaw puzzle until Pasteur came along with his germ theory. But because of my asthma, people were already, governments and authorities were already starting to bring in sanitation for the wrong reasons, really, because they knew that they had to get rid of these bad smells. In fact, what they needed to do was to get rid of contaminated water, but in a way it didn't really matter. The fact was that they did get on with it, and in London, Basel Jet's famous sewer system was being installed. They were just starting to work on it at the same time as John Snow was putting forward his theory. And in fact, those sewers are still there now. They're still working.
Okay. Now, also, you said that the germ theory and the pioneering work of John Snow were so successful that by the 1970s, in modern times, some people were claiming that, well, the game is over, that all epidemics can be cured, and that we've reached a milestone in the history of medicine that all diseases can be cured. But wasn't that grossly underestimating the real nature of these epidemics to declare that epidemics are going to be conquered?
Yes, well, it was. But in a way, I mean, you can see that it sounded reasonable because back in the 1970s, thanks to vaccination and antibiotics, the killer diseases did seem finally to be on the retreat. I mentioned earlier smallpox, and that was declared eradicated from the globe in 1979. And it wasn't unreasonable to think that other diseases were set to follow. Well, they haven't. For it still remains the only human disease to gain this distinction. And while others are tantalizingly close to being conquered, they've proved extremely persistent. And some of them are even staging a comeback. And then, of course, there are the new diseases that, as it were, emerge without warning. And, of course, with global travel, they can cross the world in hours. And also what's worrying is that some of the old diseases, TB in particular, are becoming resistant to our antibiotics. And antibiotics, as you will all know, is by far the most effective treatment that we've ever had. While we're still struggling to conquer the old diseases, then we've had SARS, we've had avian flu and swine flu, and we've had Ebola, and of course we have had the worst of all, we have had HIV/AIDS, which...
Okay, well, unfortunately, we have run out of time. So once again, our special guest today was Sandra Hempel from London. Thank you so much for being on Science Fantastic. And once again, if you want to get on Science Fantastic, you can always give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station or website, and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you can get on 100 radio stations and ask that question that you've always wanted to ask about science. So once again, for Science Fantastic, this is Professor Michio Kaku.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type, and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at aan.com/concussion. That's aan.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.